on 1116 SEN. The Science of Sport with Craig Harper, Jackie Lada and Mark Fabreo.
Good morning, folks. Welcome to the Science of Sport. Nikki Lauder, is it? Nicole Lauder over there? Craig Harper is my name. Jackie Lauder, of course, is the name of the lady that sits opposite me every week at 7 minutes past 10 o'clock. This is the show where we talk health and fitness and wellness and sciencey stuff, but we try to make it pretty user-friendly, all stuff about training and nutrition and recovery. And how to make your body and all the bodies that are involved in sport at all levels perform better. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning. You'd think after he leaves our show that he'd turn his radio on, or his show, turn his radio on and listen to ours and hear what my name is.
He may well do.
Peaky, so, we're talking about.
Peaky, if you're listening.
He's known me for a few years and hasn't got my name right.
But did he call you Nikki or Nicole?
Nicole Lauder.
Nicole Lauder.
Yeah.
Well, he was close.
Both were wrong. If you're going to get it wrong, you may as well do it properly.
He almost got you. That's all right.
He recognises me by face, so that's okay.
Now, of course, Professor Mark Fabreo normally joins us, folks. He is not here this week. He's away doing a run or something. I think he's midlife crisising. That's what he's doing. He's 50, and he's decided to get back into competitive sport. But all jokes aside, good for him, because we know that at 40, 50, 60 and beyond, you can still, not only if you want to train and exercise and manage yourself well, which is what this show is really about, is about getting the most out of your body wherever you're at, but even to do things on a competitive scale, like him and like Peter Senior.
Peter Senior.
Of course, who won this week at the ripe old, last week now, at the ripe old age of 56.
His last win was
20 years ago.
Yeah.
20 years.
Which is impressive, and I guess he's in a sport where, you know, you can compete for a long time, but it's also that time of year, isn't it, where people start to come out of their hidey holes. Weather, maybe not look at today, but weather is generally getting better. They start to set themselves some goals, and I think that was one thing we wanted to talk about today, was being able to maintain some good training programs as you maybe get a little bit more social. We're probably drinking a little bit more, eating a little bit more, so you don't have to stick to it 100%. But before we go into that, I had a question for you. There was an article in yesterday's Age that Caroline Wilson wrote with Ken Hinckley, and he made a few comments, which I'll talk about later. But one of the things that he mentioned was that he'd read a couple of books and they had a really big influence on him. Now, you and I both read a lot. We listen to a lot of podcasts and those sort of things. And I'm sure there's a lot of our listeners. Has there been something that you've picked up over the last, you know, 10 years that's had a really big impact on the way you go about things?
There've been a few in terms of books that I...
It could be books,
okay,
or movies. Globally,
what's worked for me is podcasts, because you know how everybody has a different learning style. So I'm an auditory learner, plus also I'm quite kinesthetic / practical.
So listening and learn by doing.
Yep. When I do stuff, and I find a lot of people, especially in the gym, if I try to explain to somebody how to do a squat, especially men, women seem to be better at picking up stuff if I explain it to them, whereas some men stand there and look at me quizzically, not all men, but then if you actually go, look, here's how you do it, put this bar on your shoulder, put your hips here, feet there, head up there. So we've all got different learning styles, and in answer to your question, for me, probably the advent of the podcast, which is just, you know, where I'm listening to people who are great teachers or motivators or researchers talking about stuff that I like, because I can do it. In fact, I was doing it. I had to go see my parents the other day, so I've got 2 hours in the car. And when SEN runs out, which is at about Warrigal, I go, right, oh, it's time for a podcast. So.
Is there a couple of, I mean, I'm sure we've probably got some listeners that can text us in and let us know some of the ones that they listen to, but you've got a couple of favourites.
Yeah. So I listen to a guy called Joe Rogan, who's people either love or hate. I listen to a guy called Ben Greenfield, who, if you're a science person, sports science, Ben Greenfield, I think it's called the Ben Greenfield podcast. And there's also another guy who polarises people. Now, we're talking about when you can't get onto SEN here, of course. But like in the plane, I listen to podcasts all the time because I'm always in planes. a guy called Dave Asprey, who has a podcast called The Bulletproof Executive. And so, and he talks about, you know, some of this stuff goes over my head, and I'm reasonably educated at that stuff, but a lot of it's just very practical and user-friendly. But just talking to people who are at the forefront, whereas I remember 20 years ago when I wanted to listen to stuff, I had to go out and buy 20 CDs or 20 DVDs or what it is. But we just have access to so much amazing information these days, and that's kind of part of what we're trying to do here on this show, is trying to, you know, impart relevant and interesting kind of information that's user-friendly. Not so we're bamboozling people with stuff, but we go, all right, well, this is what VO2 max means. Like last week we spoke, or lactate threshold. But now what that means for you is, and how you can use that is in this way. So for me, podcasts, and then a couple of other specific books.
Yep.
Like I've spoken about a book here called Mind Over Matter, which talks about the relationship between our thinking and our physiology. So there's an area of research that I love, which is called PNI, psychoneuroimmunology, which talks, you know, all that about the relationship between how your thinking literally affects your nervous system, your endocrine system, and so on.
Yep.
So, you know, that's and you, books?
Probably we have talked about this one as well, The Brain That Changes Itself, and then The Brain's Way
Norman
of Healing.
Norman Doidge.
Yep. So, and the reason I think that's created such a massive shift in the whole area of psychology, because it's handed over to people an ownership to go, you can pretty much change things that you never thought you could. You can change the way you think, and it's educated people on probably what we do for exercise. It's being patient. Things aren't going to happen really quickly. And that's, you know, when I read this article, I liked it for a few reasons. Mm. But number one was it made me go, well, we can get a few resources here and there that have a massive influence on us.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I related not only probably to myself, but a lot of the clients and the listeners and everyone that we deal with, is that people try and do too much too soon.
Yeah.
You know, and we see it at this time of year especially, is some epiphany happens, something's had a big influence on them, and it can be a major life-changing event, not in a great way if you lose someone or whatever, but it's okay, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to eat healthier, I'm going to sleep more, and I'm like, they are all huge things. You can't do them all at once. And I guess what I would like to have a bit of a chat about is, you know, where do you know where to start?
And also, what's a practical, you know, it's like going, I'm going to join the circus, I'm going to start training today, and tomorrow I'm going to be headlining.
Yep.
Well, no, there's a bit of work. And also, yep, I think it is, you know, let's say, for example, and we're generalizing here, but let's say some 40-year-old bloke today has a revelation and goes, you know what, I've kind of been smashing myself for 20 years. I'm 20 kilos overweight. I've had 5,000 beers this year and 57,000 darts and so on. I want to change my body and my life, my thinking, my habits, my behaviors and my results, right? Which is the stuff that you and I both do. So that is a great goal, but we also need to be completely practical about the most intelligent and intelligent approach, and the approach that's most likely to actually facilitate real world forever change.
Mm-hmm.
And when we take away the emotion, and I'm not trying to be negative here, I'm being very practical. The vast majority of Australians that lose weight regain it. That's not an idea, theory or concept. That's reality.
Yeah, it's factual.
The vast majority of people who join gyms don't use the gym, or don't use the gym the way they intended to, and don't create the outcome they hoped to create when they went. That's not about the gym. That's about the person, mostly. So it's trying to understand. It's great to have goals, and it's great to identify the physiological needs that we have. But more importantly is to go, right, how am I wired? What are my barriers and hurdles? What happened the last 57 times? Because I've done this many times, and here I am. It's 2015, sliding in towards Christmas. I'm about to eat, you know, my own body weight most weeks in crackling and pudding, and 2016 is my year. And that's a good intention, right? But what we need to go is, yeah, but what happens when the festive season's over and I step back into life? Or what happens when the motivation wears off? Or what happens? And so it's trying to negotiate the real world reality of being a human being with fluctuating emotions, with a messy social life, with people around you who go, just have one more, don't be ridiculous, it's Christmas, and all those things.
It's about being honest. I think so many of us, we get within ourselves, you get embarrassed or ashamed, or you go, look, I know what it is, but I don't want everyone else to know what it is.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if you can just sit down and say, okay, I have got an interest in losing weight, let's say, but I do know that I tend to eat the wrong foods if I'm on my own. I tend to react to emotions, or I don't have a good understanding of, you know, as much as we have information out there, maybe some people don't understand what's good food for them and what's too much for them. And that's when you start to put your plan together. Some people are going to have to start and go, you know what, first and foremost, I need to go and get an overall checkup from a doctor and know exactly where my health status stands. Other people know I'm generally pretty healthy, but don't maybe have enough information on food. I will go and see a dietitian and get a bit more educated. Or they know, like I said, it might be a psychological thing where they need to come and see a psychologist to say, look, this, I emotionally eat, I need to understand that a little bit more. Or it might be the people around them and they're not sure how to handle them. So I think, you know, you've got, if you're 100% honest, you often can come up quite easily with the answer of where to start.
And all of this stuff is about self-awareness, not self-loathing. So, and also...
And it's not bad. It's just what it is. It's, I think that the labels we put on ourselves are, you know, I can't do this and whatever. And our dialogue is so huge. In the way we speak to ourselves influences us so much.
I think also it's important that we keep in mind, like if you have 10 athletes come through the door to see you, Jackie, and they've all got one similar issue, that is perhaps, you know, they struggle to stay motivated or they lose focus or they've got crappy self-esteem or whatever. So 10 people, 10 different athletes, 10 similar issues, I can pretty much guarantee they're not all going to have the same prescription in inverted commas from you.
Yep.
So too, me as an exercise scientist, if 10 people come to me and go, Craig, look, lots of things I want to do, but bottom line is I want to be leaner. I want to be lighter. I want to be leaner. Probably there will be 10 different approaches depending on genetics, depending on the individual, depending on their training background, depending on where they're at right now, depending on what they like and hate, depending on their chronological age. You know, there are so many variables. So what my point is this. Keep in mind that if you want to change your body, you know, leaner, lighter, sexier, stronger, bigger, smaller, fitter.
Yep.
Part of the process, other than getting advice from people, is also for you to pay attention to what works. So, for example, me, milk, no good. You and milk, fine. Why? Because I'm lactose intolerant or I don't have lactase, the enzyme that breaks it down. So we're trying to figure out individually. So we take the generic information, like on this show, we'll give you lots of advice, then apply it and see how it works. Like some people can train in the morning on an empty stomach and they work best on that. Some people can't train unless they eat. They fall apart and they have, you know, they have a blood sugar low or whatever. So it's understanding that there's no product or program or solution that fits everybody perfectly.
I think the other thing that I would say to people is have a look at some area of your life where you are doing really well, where you feel like, you know what, I'm kicking goals. Or so it might be, oh, I do really well at work, but I don't do so well with my exercise. Have a look at why you do well at work. What is it? Because you're the same person. It's just a different environment. So those qualities and those skills that help you succeed at work, I'll guarantee you some of those will be very useful to be able to apply to your exercise program. If you're a very organized person at home and not so organized at work, well, you have the skill of organization. Yep. What is stopping you?
Yeah.
So if you have a look, there's not one single person listening that doesn't have some skills or capabilities that can actually help them make a change towards an area that they want to change in. But they need to have a look at it across the board, not isolate all their areas, because like I said, they're the same person. It's just different environments they're in.
And this is really, you know, dumbing it down and putting it in, you know, this is how I would talk to my mum about this. But literally, you need to get to the point emotionally and psychologically.
Simple.
But where you go, all right, I'm ready.
Yep.
I know it's going to be uncomfortable a bit. That's okay. It probably will be inconvenient at times. So that's okay. It, you know, might not always be fun. That's okay too. So we need to get out of that instant gratification,
that it's got to be a little bit hard, doesn't
it? Yeah. If this is not fun, quick, easy, or convenient, well, you can get stuffed. I'm not doing it. Well, yep. Let me tell you, if you want to create exceptional results, you can't do mediocre. And I'm not trying to be the motivation guy, but you know, after 15 million conversations about the same thing with people, essentially, you come back to the, actually, it's about the person. Because I can give the person all the information, all the resources, all the encouragement, all the strategies, but it still comes, even when we've got that stuff at our disposal, it still comes down to, okay, it's Saturday night, it's 10 o'clock, I'm staring at the pantry. It's Sunday morning, I said I was going to do 10Ks, I've hit the alarm four times, I can't be stuffed, my feet are a little bit sore. And then we wake up at 6 months later, we're 10 kilos heavier.
Because it's all or nothing. People operate off an all or nothing where they go, yeah, I said I was going to, you know, go for a run this morning. Okay, if you don't feel like going for a run, that's fine. Go for a walk.
Yeah.
Like, be prepared and be flexible to actually change things. You don't need to keep it the same. We have these self-imposed rules that we make ourselves stick to. It's not written in concrete. No one's going to know. And you know what? If you went for a walk, even though you planned to run, that's not a failure. That's you going, I'm adaptable, I'm flexible, and hey, I still did something. And that's what people need to be prepared to do. And I think the other thing is to, apart from some of the knowledge resources and whatever, have a look at some of the people around you and find out who are the best influencers or who have the ability to talk to you honestly and say, you know what, you said you were going to do this.
Yeah.
How about I help you with this or we go for a walk or, you know, you've got to listen sometimes to those around you if you can't listen to yourself.
And here's a little take home. You're never going to have more physical potential than you've got now. You're never going to have more time than you've got now. You're never going to have more talent. So it really comes down to our ability to say, well, you know, this is what needs to be done. And I think also getting some awareness around what your non-negotiables are.
Yeah.
So, and we talk about that in business. We talk about, well, as an organization or even as a football team, what are our non-negotiable behaviors out on the field? What are our non-negotiables to our teammates? What are our non-negotiables behaviorally in terms of how we represent this club? There are non-negotiables. And then so too with you or with me. People go to me, you know, how do you go out and not drink? Or I go, well, I don't drink, so it's not a big issue. And I don't do that because I'm some kind of wowser or martyr. It's I just don't drink, so that's okay for me. So when you're clearly defined about, one, what I want to achieve, and then you go, well, what needs in relation to that goal, in relation to being fit or lean this year, and in relation to making this the last time. Like, yep. I don't want this to be number 27 of 4,000.
But if you don't do your non-negotiables where you say, okay, these are things that are not negotiable, I have to do them, there are going to be times where you won't do it, right? So the question Correct. You've then got to say is why? And just answer the question, why? I didn't actually focus properly on that today. I didn't prepare myself well enough. I was a little bit lazy today. Okay, that's okay.
Yeah.
So then you just pick it up the next day. But if you don't answer the why question, and you, what most people do is they answer it with statements and they go, oh, it's because I'm hopeless and I can't do this.
Mm.
No, it's not.
Mm.
That's just, that's your cop out. That's your easy answer. You're not hopeless. You can do it. You were just a little bit lazy. You allowed yourself to get distracted. So pick it up and try it again tomorrow.
Yeah.
I would rather someone be doing that and making an effort all the time. They will eventually get there. But and if you're the person who constantly makes self-statements like, I'm hopeless, I can't do it, it's just not worth it, you're making those statements because you actually know it is worth it, but you're scared.
And also, when you stuff up, and you will because you're human,
yep.
We all stuff up. It's called being, you know, being normal. That's okay. Like, it's, you know, the challenge is not the challenge. Your response to the challenge is the problem's not the problem. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, so you ate 3 Tim Tams, big deal. Probably not a great decision considering you want to lose weight, but you ate them.
Yep.
So let's not throw ourselves a pity party and immerse ourselves in the pantry for the next 4 weeks, then emerge 20 kilos heavier.
Yeah.
Let's just go, okay, that's all right. Didn't want to do it, did. Because that's part of it. Part of it is getting up and when
coping with setbacks.
Emotionally, psychologically. If you think that getting in shape is about physiology, you don't understand how you work. We're going to go to a break, 26 minutes past 10 o'clock. We'd love you to ring us, give us a call, ask us a question about training, about getting in shape, about food, about all the behavioural psychology stuff. Jackie Lauder, the world's best psychologist, is here. 26 minutes past 10.
On 11.16 SEN, the science of sport with Craig Harper, Jackie Lauder and Mark Fabreo.
Welcome back to Melbourne's home of sport, Craig Harper, Jackie Lauder. This is the Science of Sport. Every Sunday between 10 and 11, we've got a little couple of little teething problems here. I'm trying to get big Josh Lenardowicz, who just won a couple of... I told him to just call me, and he just called me on my mobile phone, not on the radio phone, on the station phone. But we'll get him up very soon. We're talking about getting in shape. We're talking about the psychology and the emotional stuff and the organisational stuff behind creating... permanent change. You know, we all lose weight we at some stage, and sadly, rightly or wrongly, most of us regain it.
Yep.
Interesting message off the SMS.
Yeah, there's a couple of good ones. Lee in Lilydale, stepping off the physiological cliff is the hardest part. 100% agree. I think that's a scary thing because we know it's going to hurt probably at the start, and there's often some self-image things attached to that. And the other one is I'm that 40-year-old guy. Started 6 months ago with the goal of losing 10 kilos. I'm nearly at 13 kilos, which is fantastic. I had to write down the goal and treat it like a project, identifying the risks and issues, which is, I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about, isn't it? Like, have to do that at the start. You have to plan.
And also for some people what works, obviously for this guy, yeah, is treating it like, I would, reading between the lines, he probably, his life runs or his work life runs on projects and accountability and structure and ticking boxes and KPIs. And so you just say, well, that works at work with creating change or creating certain results within whatever we're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
So why don't I just translate that thinking and that kind of protocol and just call, you know, losing 10 kilos, or in this case 13 kilos, a project of its own.
Yep.
If you want to give us a call, call's starting to line up now. So 9429 1116, we'd love to chat with you. Or if you want to leave a message like a lot of other people are, 0433 98 1116. Let's go to Michael in East Bentley. G'day, Michael.
Good morning. I exercise every day, but what I'm finding is that... because I exercise every day, the quality of my exercises sort of has decreased, because I've got this mentality that I need to do something every day. For example, for a kilometre swim, I would swim, say, 18 minutes for a kilometre, but because I'm doing other stuff like weights and rowing and cycling, I'm noticing my swim times of going up around 20 minutes a kilometre. So yeah. I'm finding that I haven't got that, I guess, extra energy, or I'm not too sure what it is. But so my query is it worth doing something every day or?
Look, Josh, sorry, Michael. One of the things is to keep in mind that recovery is a really important part of creating change, but more importantly, creating positive change. So you got to listen to your body. Your body is the best biofeedback machine in the world. Your body's always telling you something. It might need more sleep, less training, more food, more micronutrients. But one of the things that is important is that you do have downtime, because when you have downtime, then when you get back into training, then the quality of the training generally improves. But also give yourself what we call active recovery days. And an active recovery day, Jackie was talking before about going for a walk or a stroll, where you're not sitting on the couch all day, you're moving your body, but you're not training per se. So keep that... keep it going, but make sure that, you know, at the same time you're listening to your body and giving yourself some downtime. Thanks for your call. Now, we're going to go, we've got a special guest on the phone, Jack. We're going to go.
You're so excited about this.
Oh, well, I just thought while we've got him here, we'll talk to the big man who's just done something very interesting in the world of bodybuilding. He's a pioneer. He's a groundbreaker. And I'm going to say right here, right now, probably Australia's best bodybuilder. This would almost make him of all time. His name's Josh Lenardowicz, and he joins us on line 8. G'day, big fella.
G'day, Craig. How are you?
Mate, we're very good. Where are you?
I'm in Gold's Gym, San Jose in America.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
Now, I've got Jackie with me.
How you going?
Hi, Jackie.
You've had a big couple of weeks. We hear you've had some pretty impressive results. Do you maybe let everyone know first up what you've been doing?
It's been amazing. I've been travelling around the world actually competing. First of all, in the San Marino Pro, Italy, and then in the Lou Ferrigno Legacy in California. Lou Ferrigno was the whole shift, anyone out there knows. So these last two shows I've done, I've been blessed, I've been successful with them. The first Australian to win two professional shows in a row. And I've got a ticket to a qualified entry into the Mr. Olympia competition in Las Vegas in September. The first Australian in about 10 and probably actually 13 years.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Mr. Olympia.
Now, you know that I'm coming,
me
right?
Too.
You know that I'm coming.
Yes, I hope so.
I'm not even being funny.
I hope so.
I'm not even being funny, and I'm not even saying it for the radio.
Mate, I really hope you can be there. This is amazing. It's been a real dream come true. You can probably hear it in my voice.
Yeah, now...
I'm trying to talk through my smile.
Now, for those who don't know, and we know not everyone's interested in bodybuilding, so for those of you who aren't, just bear with us. But for those of... Look, it's just that it's such an amazing achievement. So you won two pro shows in a row. It's years and years since any Australian won any pro show. And so now to be able to step in. So the Mr. Olympia, people think Mr. Universe is the biggest comp. Well, there are a bunch of Mr. Universes. And with respect, they pale into insignificance in compared to the Mr. Olympia, which is kind of like the Wimbledon or the US Open of bodybuilding, I would say. So that's where the best of the best get together. And... to be even able to qualify for that is an amazing thing. Now, it's fair to say, big fella, that going into the show, the San Marino show, that we were all hoping you would do well. You're in amazing shape, but you wouldn't have been expected to win.
No way. I wasn't expecting to win at all. And everything just fell into place. It was all these years of hard work and training and, you know, pain and discipline and doubts as well. You know, even if you're not a bodybuilding fan, if you follow any sport or you're an athlete of any kind, you can really connect with the thought of, is this for me? Should I be doing something else? Is it worth all the sacrifice? And the time that goes into it is just on another level. You know, it demands everything from you. And to be able to get there, with this doubt in your head, am I going to do any good? You know, I'm this Australian competing overseas. I don't know the language. And then to come out victorious was so overwhelming. I mean, I broke down on stage. You know, seeing a big man cry is probably not the best thing. But I couldn't.
Well, it's
it.
Real,
just,
isn't it, though?
It is. It's so real. It was really like a dream come true.
Josh, can I ask?
I can't believe it now.
Can I ask you? You made a comment before, and I work as a psychologist, that you said, you know, I didn't expect to win. So why not? You're going into a competition. You've obviously prepared for it. Why would you think you couldn't win that? Because you're not going to turn up there unprepared.
You know what? I really wanted to win, and disappointment is the gap between expectations and reality. And I didn't want to get there and for me to fall short and for my reality to just be shattered. You know, I had that earlier in the year and it was quite stressful, and I thought, you know, I'm going to go in there with the best intentions and hope that I do well, but I don't want to be disappointed. And, you know, and my father-in-law, who was a Catholic in the World Games and Commonwealth Games, he just said to me, don't live with regrets, just go out there and give it a go and have fun. And that really stuck with me. And I thought, you know what, if you're not doing something in life, if you're doing something in life and it's not enjoyable,
yep,
then you shouldn't do it. And that's what I thought. I'm just going to go out there and have fun. And that's why when I won, that's why I broke down, because it wasn't expected. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Now, big fella, before we let you go, so the second show that you did was in California, is that right?
Yeah.
Now, of course, to many people, not only the states, but to many people, California is almost the home of bodybuilding. So what was it like as not unknown, because you got some big notoriety the week before, but a relatively unknown Australian stepping on the stage in one of the biggest kind of bodybuilding cultures in the world to win?
Yeah, you know, anyone that knows anything about bodybuilding has probably seen Pumping Iron, and Lou Ferrigno. He was in that movie and with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and you know, looking up to him as a young boy growing up and having heroes going there and meeting him and, you know, winning his competition, it was really surreal. And going there, like I said, not many people knowing, and then that week, you know, leaning into the show, there's this hype about me a bit, and going into a show for the first time as a favourite was a great experience, and it was joyful, and it was knowing that now that I'd been, you have to win a pro show to be entered into the Miss Olympia, and knowing that I'd won two, it really reinforced into me and instilled, you know, if I really work hard at something and I can commit myself and have perseverance and dedication and discipline and all those factors, you know, I can be successful at it. And that's what I've, you know, knowing now going forward, I'm going to put even more time and effort into it. And, you know, I've put a lot into it before, but I know now you've been a really big influence, Craig, talking about, you know, the food and the diet and, you know, nothing tastes as good as being in shape feels and going after your goal and striving for it. And that's something that really stuck with me. The travel was something really challenging, though, you know, water loading and depleting on a plane, not having any carbohydrates, sourcing the food and packing that on the plane and, you know, going through the customs and different parts of the airport, we have to throw out your water and buy new water and all those little challenges. But, you know, being educated in nutrition and you know, making educated choices is what made the difference on stage, I believe.
Now, mate, we've got to wind up. Thank you for those nice words, but really I did nothing. But thank you. What the boys want to know this. What are you weighing in at the moment? Like your post-show, now, you're at the gym. What are you weighing in at?
I'm 280 pounds now, so it's 127 around about. And on stage, I was about 120 kilos. So I've been enjoying the American food here. And you know what? I was shocked. You know, everyone here in America is so nice. Like, they're really outgoing and they love... Australia's got such a good reputation over here.
Yeah.
You know, it makes you proud to be Australian. Everyone's really, really loves Australia. They want to come to Australia. They love the Australian people. So, you know, everyone at home, you know, thanks for being great people.
Yeah, well, we do our best. Mate, we appreciate you. We're proud of you. We look forward to you coming home and you and I catching up eating food. I'm sure I won't eat as much as you, but I'll give it a crack. Travel safe, and we'll see you soon. And congratulations, buddy.
Hey, mate.
Yes.
Thanks so much, everyone. Just quickly, if I could just say a big thanks to Tony Doherty from Doherty's Gym for helping support me and putting kind words in my mind. And, you know, Muscle Mills Direct, my sponsor, with my food, supplies my food, you know. I just want to say thank you to Australia for helping me out and, you know, making my dreams a reality. And thanks for having me on the show, guys. Really appreciate it.
Mate,
thanks,
always Josh. Welcome, and always good to get those sponsors plugs in because they keep you going. Talk to you soon, mate. Josh Lenardowicz there, just fresh off a couple of wins, one in San Marino, one in California over in the States at 18 minutes to 11 o'clock. We're going to come back and continue our conversation about getting in shape mentally, physically, and emotionally, and more importantly, staying in shape.
On 11.16 SEN, the science of sport with Craig Harper, Jackie Lada, and Mark Fabreo.
Welcome back. It's 10:45 coming up after 11. Brady Phillips, of course. Brady Phillips and Paul Aiken, 11 to 12, the first serve. And from 12 to 6 today, also Brett Phillips, Sports Sunday Sports Central, as he does. Now, a little bit of a plug. Recklink Australia have got a family fun day today. They do some good stuff, so we're happy to support them. They're celebrating 25 years. Responding, reconnecting and rebuilding. Now, that's today between 11 and 3 down at the Peanut Farm Reserve, Chaucer Street, St Kilda. Performers, entertainers, sports activities, famous people, signing stuff, selfies, food, drinks, lots of entertainment, lots and lots of great stuff down there. So get down there if you get a chance, if you want to connect with some people and also meet a few people between 11 and 3 today at the Peanut Farm, Recklink Australia Family Fun Day. Jackie Lauder.
So before we were talking to Josh, we were talking about getting into programs and how we've had a few SMSs about people self-sabotaging and being able to stick to things and overcome. And Josh made a nice little link with his disappointment, you know, and which is a fear. And that was why he didn't maybe think he could win something.
Interesting that somebody at that level would say, I didn't expect to win.
Yeah. So many of them say that. And in line with the self-sabotage, it's a self-protection thing as well. Like, I really want to do it, but if I don't, I need something because I'll be embarrassed or what other people will think. Well, who gives a crap what other people think?
But we do, though.
What I'm saying to people is if you want to do it, get your right people around you and do it. But my question and something I wanted to ask you was – you know, you've been around in the fitness industry a long time. I've been around a long time. And most people, I think, that are listening have at some stage maybe been sucked into a few gimmicks.
Right.
Things that have promised the world and delivered zippo.
Yeah.
Well, so over the last, let's say the last 20 years or all the time you've, because you had a gym for a long time.
Yep.
What have been some of the fads or the things that you've seen just come and go or promise the world and delivered nothing?
Well, anything that's on telly between midnight and three, let's start with that. Anything that's on, look, I mean.
People are vulnerable at that time and they're tired, and that's why they respond to those. At that time when they're sitting there going, I'm not overly happy with myself, of course you're going to buy the thing that's advertised to one machine that can repair and clean up your entire body.
Well, I guess there's been lots of things, but what I'll, rather than just things that were, you know, because all the, you know, 2 minute abs and 4 minute abs and the vibrating belt.
The concepts as well.
Like, okay. So, well, one of the funniest gizmos ever was a thing that you stand on, which has a belt that you put around your waist. This was in the early 80s.
It's a vibrating.
And it vibrates your fat off. now, let's just say, not that scientific, but could be used for other things.
In thousands of households.
Could be used for other things.
There were people standing there with a belt around them whilst they had the wrong food or the wrong drink.
That's right. Well, also not dissimilar to that, and you'd need to be able to even remember this, but there was a thing in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and even 80s that made a more contemporary version called the bull worker, which was a combination of pushing and pulling this thing, which had, you know, springs and things that you pushed that would turn you into, you know, Superman in a matter of weeks.
I don't know what it is, but I'm going to Google it.
Bull worker, just check that out.
Bull
but
worker.
I think in terms of like some of the other funny things that came and went in the fitness industry, there was a thing called slide Reebok, which was essentially where people wore these little kind of booties or sock things on what was like a piece of plastic, and they would slide side to side a la a speed skater. And all of these people started getting all of these weird injuries like abductor and adductor injuries. Groin injuries, because they were essentially doing this movement over and over that didn't really transfer to life, right? It's not that often we're moving laterally. We're not crabs. We tend to move forward and back and sometimes a little bit sideways. You know, and there's just been over the years, there's just been one thing. But you've got to keep in mind, by the way, if you've got something, a gizmo or a gadget or a fad that was complete garbage in the fitness space, 94291116, but you've got to keep in mind that the reason that these things sell is because people see them as a shortcut or
correct.
I can get the result without the work. And that's always the sales pitch. Now, imagine if you and I developed a product and we said, look, 100%. You're going to improve, lose weight, look amazing for you. We're going to explore
your... No matter what your starting point is, 100 kilos, 200 kilos.
Yeah, explore your genetic. You'll lose weight, you'll increase health and fitness, all these things. But here's the thing. You've got to fully commit. You've got to get uncomfortable. You've got to work. You've got to change your thinking, habits, behavior, lifestyle. You've got to change your exercise regime. You know, people go, oh, no, I don't want that. Because there's... You know, there's that perception that it's hard work, and we're just not everybody, but in some ways we are a culture that
society of convenience.
We love easy stuff, and the also I think the sad thing, and I sound a bit hardcore now, but the sad thing is that the thing that we avoid, which is discomfort, is actually the thing that empowers us, and it's the thing that gives us the skill and the knowledge and the strength to keep learning and growing.
Yeah, I think a lot of people too don't realize how knowledgeable they actually are, you know. And I was commenting to you during the break about an ad that had come on, and you pay $150 and it's a well-being diet. If you're sitting there right now, I guarantee most people sitting there right now will know what would be involved if I said to you, I want you to create for yourself a well-being diet. They would 100% know. Don't go and pay $150 for someone to tell you what you already know. Stop and ask yourself and go, okay, I might only have a little bit of knowledge on this, but that is actually enough for me to start. I think most people don't give themselves enough credit for the knowledge that they have. They think, oh, because it hasn't worked for me in the past, I'm going to have to pay a whole heap of money for a program that offers the world or some machine or something like that. have a look even around, you know, your own backyard. Or a lot of the parks have little bits of equipment that you could just go and, you know, start with one little chin up or
move
just a little bit of strength or whatever. You don't have to get sucked in. I think people are smarter than what they give themselves credit for.
Let's go to Rob in Wonga Park, who, according to Jackie, our producer, has written on the screen, has a fad machine that actually works. G'day, Rob.
Yeah, good morning, folks.
Hello, Rob.
I'm in my late 60s, but I'm, you know, a bit of a gym freak and whatever. And I used a machine at one of the gyms called an ab coaster. It's an ab coaster. I don't sell them. I've got nothing to do with them. So I bought, there's two versions. There's a commercial one and there's just the home one. And I've got to tell you, you know, I do about 300 or 400 a week now. And I've got to say, my abs are now stronger. My core is now stronger than when I was in my 20s and I was a sportsman. So it really does work. And it works on your abs. It works on your, a little bit on your thighs. Certainly works on your triceps as well. And it's not that difficult once you get used to it. But it's fantastic and it actually works.
Okay, I'm going to make two comments about that before Craig does. Number one, yes, it was to target your abs. Number two, Rob, it's you that's working. You're using that machine. You're making a choice every day or how often as you have to do it. That's you. Don't give the credit to a machine. I'm sorry, like it might help with your abs, but you're the one who's chosen to stick with that. So I give you more credit than I do whatever that machine is.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, I think you just got wrapped on the knuckles and patted on the back all at the same time. See, only a psychologist can do that, Rob. Now, when I saw it on the screen, Rob has a machine that works, I thought, oh, geez, I hope this bloke's not trying to sell anything. But you're not. So what's it called, Rob?
Ab coaster.
Called an ab coaster.
An ab coaster.
You can Google it. And actually, my ego's been swollen, but I feel like I've got a foot up the bum.
Well, that's exactly what a good psychologist does. Thanks for your call, Rob. Keep using the ab. What's it called, Jackie?
Oh, yeah, the ab coaster. So here it is. So it's oh, there's a beautiful girl who's probably never not had any abs in her entire life. So maybe that's why men are buying it. The girl does not come with the ab coaster, I don't think. But it's on this like curved railing and you basically, so it glides along the curved railing and you hold
on to
the handles and that. But yeah, Rob's definitely the one working that. But it might work. I'm not saying it doesn't.
Yeah, we're not saying it doesn't. But you've got to remember it does, what it does a certain thing. Does it help with your flexibility or power or speed or cardiovascular fitness? No, but it's not designed for that.
Yeah.
So horses for courses. Let's go to Dave in Bundoora. G'day, Dave.
G'day, Craig and team. What I would like to ask is isometrics. Do you believe isometrics works and holding tension as you do exercises? And also with stomach exercises, is it more what you eat or is there a particular exercise that will get rid of your stomach?
Two good questions. So I'll answer the first one first. Isometrics, so let's say let's give somebody an example of an isometric contraction where, say, you get into a push-up position, folks, and you've got your hands and your feet on the ground, and you just hold yourself there. You don't move up, you don't move down, but all your muscles essentially between your fingers and your toes are working because you're supporting your body weight.
There's two components. Your joint angle and your muscle length don't change during
Correct.
That exercise.
So in other words, you're just static. So an isometric contraction is where you're not you're not doing a normal kind of eccentric or concentric movement. But yeah, certain what that tends to be good for, Dave, is building muscular endurance. So and also you know, a bit of strength around the joints, ligaments, tendons. Second question was, what was the second question, Dave?
Just regarding exercises on your stomach.
Oh, that's right. So look, I mean, you can't spot reduce. We've said that, but so it's a little bit of both. So if you're doing isometric stuff, you're probably working your abs as well. So a little bit of abdominal and lower back. And so when we say abs, we're really talking about your whole abdominal wall, including your obliques and all the deeper and more superficial abdominal muscles, as well as ones around your lower back. So do some strengthening stuff. But in terms of fat burning, getting rid of the fat so that you're leaner, generally that's going to be more about diet. We've got to go to a break. Thanks for your calls. 4 minutes to 11.
On 11:16 SEN, the science of sport with Craig Harper, Jackie Larder and Mark Fabreo.
Right. So welcome back to Melbourne's Home of Sports. Science, sport, nearly done, dusted. Now, we didn't get to this. We'll get to it next week. Jackie, I want you to take a little snap of that. One addiction, often one addiction is solved by replacing it with another. For example, chronic alcohol use gets replaced by obsessive exercise regime. Is there another way to overcome addiction? Very good question. We're going to get to that next week. So to that listener, apologies for not answering that. But it's probably something that's worth exploring next week. Jackie Lauder, you've been awesome. Thank you.
No worries.
Coming up, folks, on the other side, 11 on Melbourne's Home of Sport, Brett Phillips and Paul Aiken first serve, and then all Sunday arvo here on Melbourne's Home of Sport, Sports Central.